Well, I'm thankful to be here tonight. And I need the Lord, so I ask for your prayers. It's our desires, the song said, we want the Master to pass by our way. I'm not interested in, and don't think you're interested in me just giving my thoughts tonight. But I'd like to begin the book of Luke, 16th chapter. Luke 16, begin in the 13th verse. No servant can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Talking to the Pharisees here, he was dealing with, in some of his speech, their covetousness. Let them know you're focused on the wrong thing. Since the time of John the Baptist, he's come preaching the kingdom of God. And it's available, thank God, to every man, to every individual. Scripture says that he came unto his own, unto the Jewish people, but they didn't receive him. And unto as many as received him, without really any further qualification of your background, your race, who your family is, they became the sons of God. But there's something involved in being part of this kingdom, which we're all invited unto. And that is, there's some pressing involved. If you want to be a part of this kingdom, you may, if you will. If you're willing, and if you'll press into it, you may. I think there are so many examples through Scripture that I want to just refer to a few of them to your mind. Thinking about a woman who had an issue of blood for a number of years. And she recognized something in Christ that could help her. But the problem was, there was a throng of people and it wasn't easy to get to Jesus. So you know what she did? She pressed. There was a man that was sick of the palsy, I believe, and if only I could get to Jesus. But the problem was, a lot of other people had the same idea. And the house was filled and no doubt overflowing and spilling outside, and this isn't going to be easy. But he was determined. This is important enough to me that I am going to overcome all obstacles and all odds. I'm going to press until I can get to the Master. There was a woman that came to Jesus with a need. Disciples, I believe, tried to kind of dismiss her and send her on her way, but she was desperate. And she came to the Lord, and the Lord didn't even answer her immediately. Well, there's occasion to be offended in that. Well, fine. If you don't care about me any more than that, I'll just go on my way. But she kept asking and seeking. She kept pressing. Jesus finally turned to her and said, Woman, it's not meet to give the children's bread unto the dogs. Wow. But she kept pressing. And she got what she was looking for. And you know we can too. If we're willing to press. I want to think about, through the Old Testament, a little bit of the story of the children of Israel. That story began really through their father Abraham. When the Lord came to him and gave him a promise that I have a land that I'm going to give unto you first. I'm going to lead you to a land and show you to a place that you haven't been and you don't know, but it's going to be yours. And it's going to be for your children, your seed after you. Exodus, the third chapter. I want to consider just a few highlights of the story. Exodus 3 and verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Hittites. I've got a land for you. You know, the Lord doesn't just take away from us. He doesn't just call us out of sin, but He calls us out of something to bring us to something. He doesn't want to just leave us wandering aimlessly with just filling this void. I'm just missing something. The Lord doesn't come to just suck out of us. He comes to fill us. He said, I want to bring you out of this place. I hear the groaning. But I'm going to bring you out of this, and I want to take you to a land of your own that was promised many years ago. And that promise is still valid, and that promise is for you this day. I want you to go and take this message. I've got a good land for you. I've got a land that flows with milk and honey, and it's yours. You know, I think hearing that, I'd say, that sounds real good. I think I'll take it. But there was something incumbent on them in that process. And if we want what the Lord has for us, and I assure you, what the Lord has for us is the very best to be had. And if we want it, we can have it. But I can just about promise you, the devil's not going to give it to you without a fight. There's going to be some pressing and determination that's involved on our part if I want to lay hold on it. Any of you folks ever been to Buc-ee's? Well, they just opened a Buc-ee's in our neck of the woods and thought we'd go to it. Well, the first time we went, somehow we found a parking spot right as somebody was leaving. I didn't count the parking spots, but there were a bunch of them. And they were filled, all but one that I saw, that I filled. Second time I went by there, I had to get in line to get off the interstate and into the parking lot and circle the building until I decided, well, I actually did finally find a space, and I went inside and I saw just a sea of people, and I said, you know what, barbecue brisket isn't that important to me. I'm gone. Folks, the Lord has something for us, and it's better than barbecue brisket. But you know, there are going to be plenty of opportunities for us to look at what's before me and say, you know what, I don't think it's possible. I don't think I'll ever get it. I don't think this is for me. I've tried it. And I just can't seem to get anywhere with it. But I want to encourage us tonight to press. And we're living in a time that it seems like to me is anti-press. I don't know if you feel that, but I feel it. In my life, in my spirit, there's something worth pressing for. And Lord, help us to be willing to press. The kingdom is yours. There's a land for you. And it's the Father's good pleasure to give us this kingdom. He's already willed it to us. It's ours to take. And it's His good pleasure to see us be able to take in all of the goodness of God. Because it's ours for the taking. But I'm going to have to be willing to press for it. The other parallel scripture to the one we opened with is found in Matthew, and it says it a little bit differently. It says that the violent take it by force. Well, that's a pretty vivid scripture and description. That's not a passive description. It's not a passive activity. It's not something where you say, oh, you got a kingdom for me? All right, I'll take it. Just set the keys over there. You got a land you want to give me? Well, sure, I'll take it. Tell me when the work's done and I'll move in. The violent are the ones that are able to press into the kingdom, the ones that are not deterred, the ones that face opposition, as all of us will, and yet they keep going. They don't turn back. They don't turn aside. Think about the song we sing, I mean to go right on. One of the verses asks a question that I can't answer for you, but by God's grace, I'm determined to hold my hand up to it. It says, shall that which intervenes deprive me of my right? To intervene is to come between. I've got my sights set on something. I want something. And then this happens. And then that. Well, I could get it, but this and that and the other. Well, the question is, will I allow it to deprive me of my right? Of what the Lord has said, this is yours. No. On I'll go until I reach the land that the Lord has for me. The violent taking it by force is not sitting by waiting for somebody to bring it to me. It's looking at it with determination in the eyes and saying, by God's help, I'm going to take that. I want it. It's going to be mine. The children of Israel, after having received this promise and hearing what the Lord's plans and purposes was for them, there was, of course, a whole process of being led out of Egypt. But as the Lord led them up to the Canaan land, you know whose idea it was to send spies out? It was the Lord's idea. The Lord's the one that told him, I want you to send up spies into the land. Why do you think the Lord did that? Because the Lord wasn't real sure whether or not they could take it? You think because there was any uncertainty in his mind? The Lord had already promised it. And yet he said, I want you to go up. And I want you to see what you're getting into. You know, I don't believe the Lord works through shadows of deception in any manner. He's not a God that's a bait and switch like Satan is. I'm going to entice you in with this, but once you get into it, you're going to find out it's not what I promised you. The Lord's word is yea and amen, and it's true altogether. And he said, I've got a good land for you. I want you to go up and see what you're getting, what's ahead of you. You know, the work that the Lord came to do for us is a work that we cannot do for ourselves. And I hope it's clear to us throughout a subject like this. This isn't about muscling down and by my own determination and gritting my teeth, I'm going to power through this. Folks, we are really so pathetic in ourselves. And yet, there is an element of determination that the Lord looks for from every one of us because he wants our will to be involved. The Lord doesn't want to just come along whenever I'm not even paying any attention, not even aware of what he's doing in my life. Just boom. He's done something for me and made me more patient, gracious and given me more power in my life. I believe in a definite work of salvation. I believe in a definite subsequent work of sanctification. Just like I believe there was a river they crossed over to exit Egypt, and there was a river they crossed over to enter Canaan. But the work wasn't done when they entered in. The work was just beginning. There will be opportunities sprinkled along every one of our pathway to turn aside if we'll let it. With very valid reason in my mind of why I just can't do it. But I pray tonight that the Lord would inspire us with whatever it is that might intervene in your life. Whatever it is that might come between what God wants to do for you and where you're at now. Those spies went up and searched out the Canaan land. And they brought back their report. And we know what the report was. There were 10 of them that said, well, all of them said there were giants. There were walled cities. And 10 of them said, and we're just like grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way. We can't do it. But there were 2 that said, we are well able to take this land. Let us go up at once. Let's not spend any time here in doubting land. It's time to move on and face the giant. It's time to press through to what God has for us. They saw the same giants and they saw the same walled cities. But 2 of them saw something altogether different. Again, I believe there was a reason why the Lord sent the spies up into the Canaan land to spy it out. You're going to have to want this. You're going to have to be willing to face the giant. You're going to have to be, because the giant's going to be there down the road for you to have to deal with. I'm going to bring you to this place that you recognize. I don't think we can get through this. And you turn to me and by faith you go through. The Lord wants to work in our lives in conjunction with, in partnership with, my understanding and my will. The Lord wants to bring me to a place of understanding. Lord, I didn't even realize before maybe. I've got a need here. Lord, I don't like what I'm seeing here. Where I'm willing to come to the place that I yield my will to Him. I don't believe in an ecstatic experience in which the Holy Spirit just comes and slays you and lays you out on the floor as if that's what the power of the Holy Spirit would do anyway. I believe the power of the Holy Spirit is given to us to do something more than lay on the floor. It doesn't take much power to lay down on the floor, and it doesn't take much power to babble, but it takes some power to rise above self and to conquer self and to look Satan in the face and say, I'm not backing down in the name of Jesus. I'm going to conquer this by God's help. And that's what the power of the Holy Spirit is for. But I'm going to have to realize, just like the Israelites had to come face to face with their giants and yet still be willing to go through, we're going to have to see those places. And we will. We're going to see that those things that want to intervene, and I'm going to have to be willing to press through. Well, they, of course, wandered back in the wilderness for 40 years until they came back to the place where the 2 who said, we can, we are well able, with another generation, went and was willing to face the land that the Lord had promised from the beginning. Folks, I ask you for your reflection. Do you ever feel anything that you have to press against? Do you feel the press of this hour that we're in? Not at 8:25 in the evening here, but this time that we're living in. You ever feel it when you kneel down to pray. You ever feel the just press of complacency, of apathy, that says, I just don't know that I really feel like it. You know, it takes something to get into the real spirit of prayer. Not just, dear Jesus, thank you for this day, thank you for it, and I list the things that I know, and amen, and I kind of check the box and I move on. I'm not trying to criticize anybody's prayer. I'm recognizing and have in my life that I'm going to have to press into something. I don't have a problem with whispering a prayer everywhere we go. I don't have a problem, and I am blessed by devotionals. But there's a place that I'm going to have to press. And there's a place that I'm going to have to start doing some digging for myself. To try to dig out some deep wells where the water can come up. There's a saying that I've seen in the workplace. It's a sign behind one of our leaders when they're on video camera. I see it in their office. And it says, don't cohabitate with problems. Because we can get complacent with problems. Of course, they're thinking problems in the workplace. This process just doesn't work quite right, but it's just the way that it's always been, and we always have to do this, that, and the other to try to overcome that. Don't cohabitate with that. Don't get comfortable just sitting in that same place when there's an opportunity to make an improvement, to change something, to say, you know what? Why have we always done it this way? We don't have to do it this way anymore. There's a better way to do that. And I want to challenge us as well to not cohabitate with problems. Places in my life that I can become so complacent with because it's become so familiar to me. I've lived with it so long. I've lived with this attitude so long, it's kind of my companion. It's like my security blanket. It's what I recognize. It's what I know. You know what's going to take something for us to press out? You ever see those places in the yard where if you have an outdoor dog, I don't know why they do it, but they tend to follow the same path. Over and over and over. And you know what it does? It wears a rut. Well, cows do the same thing. Wagons that headed to the Oregon Trail will do the same thing. You know, we can get into some ruts in our life. And a rut by nature means the easiest thing, the thing I'm going to default to, is back into that rut. Back into what's familiar to me. Back into what's normal for me, whether it's right or not, whether it's where the Lord wants me or not, the easiest thing is for me to revert back into that place that I've traveled so many times. That way of thinking that I have thought over and over and over again. That pattern of behavior that I have followed, that same course over and over and over again. And it's like it begins wearing ruts. I don't know how else to say it, but in our behavior, in our thinking, you know what's going to take something to press up out of that? If I just kind of, well, I give it just enough that I kind of get up on the rim of it, just on the edge of the rut, it's going to be real easy to just slide right back into it again. You know, I believe there's a land that the Lord wants for each of us individually, where the Lord just might say, I've got something more for you. You don't have to just settle. You don't have to just be content with coexisting with that in your life. I've got something more for you than that. You know, it can be easy for us to say, you know, I want what they have. And I think it's good.
Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. You know, they didn't get there. They didn't get to that place on a path of ease.
Just like in a natural, temporal sense, people look at and hear this kind of talk all the time, that millionaires, billionaires, and like it's a bad word. I don't think it's what we're to strive for. They ought not to have that.
They have so much, why don't they give me some of that? And I suppose, no doubt, there's exceptions to this, but many times it's the case.
If you knew what the effort they went through,
if you knew the sacrifices they made, and maybe sometimes to the detriment of things they shouldn't have made sacrifices in, but if you knew the sacrifices they made to get them to that point, again, I'm not promoting the idea of reaching a certain financial status, but I'm promoting tonight the idea, Lord, I want higher ground. Lord, I see somebody that has a faith over there that holds them in the time of the storm. I see someone whenever crisis strikes that, yeah, they feel what I feel, but yet there's something that holds them. Lord, I want that. Lord, I see in them such a gentleness. And I look at what they deal with and their circumstances, and I say, I don't know if I could handle it that way. And I say, Lord, help me to have that. But I also have to recognize that there were some battles they fought to get there. It wasn't because they were just born more spiritual. It wasn't because it just came easier to them, and they were
they're portion of land in Canaan was just right on the river there. They had it easy. You know what Caleb's desire was?
I mean, there comes a time that you say, right? I'm getting old now. There's a time that I ought to be able to start kind of letting the younger ones pick up. And yes, younger ones that want to challenge.
Well, I guess now I'm supposed to say you when I'm referring to the young ones.
Let's go. Let's pick up the mantle and say, I want some mountains. I want to take some land, some spiritual ground for my life and for my family. I want to have something to pass down to the generation that follows. But it's not just for the young ones. It's for the middle-aged ones. The ones that sometimes hit a patch of life that, what am I really doing in life? Where am I really at? Am I making a difference? It's for the older ones that have been at this a long time. That Satan doesn't let up just because you get older. Lord, help us that the inward man will be renewed day by day. I'm saying this recognizing because I feel it in my life. This drag sometimes. This tendency to, it's just trying to kind of pull me down and pull me back. I'm going to have to be willing to press through some things. You know, there can be some, again, feelings of complacency. I'm going to have to press through. You know, I may be one that struggles with depression.
There's a lot that could be said about that, but you know what one of the key anecdotes is to that? I'm not trying to oversimplify what is a very real struggle that people have. But about the worst thing you can do is give in. About the worst thing you can do is feed that thing.
You know what? I feel like going and crawling in a corner somewhere, drawing the blinds down, shutting the lights off, shutting my phone off, nobody talk to me. I don't want to engage in anybody, with anybody.
Folks, I've been in some places myself where I've, you know, Elijah was there, where the Lord had to say, come on, get up.
I got something to nourish you, but you're not done. You're not going to just sit down here and just throw in the towel. I got more work for you to do. Get up and let's go. where the Lord has to call us to the mouth of the cave. Get out of there. Come on, I want to talk to you. There may be fears. There may be accusations. There may be a besetting weakness that I have that I'm going to have to press with determination that testifies to the importance of this thing in my life. A desperation. Lord, I am desperate to gain some victories here. Lord, I don't want to just circle this thing. You remember a time when the Lord told the children of Israel, I mean, He brought them there to the mountain for a purpose and for a time. And then He said, you've been here long enough now. It's time to move on. Folks, we can get settled into a place where I'm comfortable and where the Lord wants to say, there was a time and there was a place and there was a purpose for where you're at, but it's time to move on. It's time to move up. There's some deeper places of consecration that I want you to reach. There's some higher places of responsibility that I want you, just like the Hebrews were told. A time when you ought to have been teachers, but you're still being taught. Lord, I want to take what you have for me. Every man, every one of you covet earnestly the best gift. That's not saying I want what they got. I want that gift. If I could just, folks, as ministers, you just can't do this. If I could preach like them. No, the Lord doesn't call me to be them. He calls me to be me, and He calls you to be you. And He says, I want to make something out of you. I want to be able to sanctify the gift that you're bringing, and I want to make that give you the very best gift for you. The very best thing that could do the most good in your life and for your family and for souls. The Lord knows how to do that. Folks, how do we come to the Lord in prayer? I've heard Brother Rod make some references to it. You know, when there are serious prayer requests that we need to take seriously before God. You know how easy it can be to say, well, I'll be praying about that. Well, I better remember to pray about that. Folks, when it comes to petitioning the throne of grace, do we press? Or do I tend to be deterred when I come along, kind of tap on the door? Well, he must not be home. I guess he's not going to answer prayer for me. I'm just going to move on. Folks, there's a place of coming to a consecration where I rest and I'm settled in the will of God, even if that will is not my will. That's consecration. But there's a place for me until I know that will, that I just come and I bombard heaven's door. Lord, I'm still here. Lord, I'm still seeking. I'm still searching. Lord, I'm still in need. My feelings might be kind of hurt here. Lord, don't you not care about me? What do you mean calling me a dog here? Lord, I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. Lord, where else would we go? You have the answer. You have the words of eternal life. And Lord, I'm going to be right here until I get what I need from you. It worked for the widow, didn't it? And that was an unjust judge. How much more is the effectual, what kind of prayer? The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man is able to avail much. But I'm going to have to be able to press. When I don't feel like it, there's a song that says, when you don't feel like praying, pray. I'm going to have to press beyond feelings. I'm going to have to press like the song talked about Bartimaeus. I'm going to have to press beyond the comments or the whisperings, whether perceived or real. I'm going to have to press beyond all of that and say, it really doesn't matter. Lord, you know how many times I've been at an altar of prayer? This one, camp meetings, home congregation.
Folks, if it takes it, do it.
Wear a path to that altar if that's what it takes. And it doesn't have to be at this bench. But this is the kind of urgency and fervency that I'm talking about. Lord, I believe that you have it. I believe that you have the answer. I believe that you're able to help me. And you know what? I'm going to keep coming until I get what I need.
We're going to have to be willing to press. Israel, if you read in, and we won't read it for time's sake, but if you read in the first chapter of Judges,
you had Caleb who said, "Give me this mountain." And then you have what was said of Manasseh, Ephraim, Zebulun, Naphtali, and I believe a few others. Neither did they drive out all of the inhabitants of the land. Neither did this one drive out all the inhabitants of the land. They took it. They took enough that they were comfortable. And well, I think I could live comfortably here. But that's not all the Lord has for you. And by the way, they're not going to stay over in their corner. They're going to be thorns in your side. That very thing that you've tried to relegate over to the corner somewhere, that problem that you've tried to say, "All right, problem, you go sit in the corner and I'll just kind of leave you alone. We're not dealing with you today." That's the very thing that's going to come back and be a snare to you, he told them. And that's what happened. And you can see a process if you step back and look at the story of the children of Israel. They had incomplete obedience. And they were willing to coexist with these other nations. And through coexistence, they began to be influenced. Their children. And as they were influenced, they began to assimilate and among the people and into their ways. And through that assimilation, the very walls that they left standing became the walls of their own prisons. And if we're not careful, we can live the same way. The Lord, help us with determination to say, "I want this kingdom. And I want it all. Everything that you have for me, Lord. And I don't want to stop." You look at empires and nations that have risen and succeeded for years and then fallen. The Roman Empire, for example, it didn't happen overnight. There was a series of concessions that were made that degraded their power, their influence, and of all that could be said about that for their history. You know, the enemy wants to do the same thing with us. Individually and as a people. I want you to think about this. Doing nothing isn't. Doing nothing isn't. It's really not doing nothing. If we stand still, we're really going back. This is a pressing way. And I'm going to have the determination. Lord, I don't want to cede any territory. Through my lethargy, complacency. You know, the prosperity and the ease of our time is such a blessing. Blessing? It can be. And it can also be a curse. I'll give you an example. I find such a blessing that I can go on my phone. And what I used to have bookshelves full of books, research and study books, and now have with the convenience of a phone. That's pretty easy. Well, now artificial intelligence can aggregate all of that into a simple answer. You know, the danger is akin in a way to what happened when we began getting cell phones with programmed phone numbers. And for many of us, no doubt, forgetting
people's phone numbers. Or GPS, as we begin depending more on that. I don't even hardly pay attention to road signs and road names and directions. Follow the GPS. You know, there can be an effect on us in this technological information age that really can be a blessing to us. But we're even beyond now, say, in the microwave age. But in a time where I want to be able to push a button and get the answer. And I kind of want to treat prayer that way. Lord, I want to push a button and get an answer. And you know, the Lord has some levers that He still wants to work with in our lives. Some things that He can influence and use to work and draw and call me to deeper depths and places with Him. But they're not usually very pleasant on the flesh. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes those golden opportunities the Lord gives us to deeper depths in Him are called sickness. And the first thing I want to do is say, Lord, get me out. Just get me out of this. Sometimes it's called persecution. Sometimes it's called people not treating me right. And I just want out of this. But you know, there's also a place where the Lord says, if you're willing to press, if you're willing to press through your feelings, if you're willing to press through what the flesh wants to do or feels like, I've got something rich waiting for you. I want to bring you out into a wealthy place. Joel, the second chapter in the 25th verse, says that He'd restore unto us the years. And believe something about that the canker worm is consumed. You know, if we look on our own lives and recognize, you know, I've kind of just settled in. Doing nothing isn't. Maybe I recognize there's some ground that I've kind of started to give up. There are some depths of consecration that I've substituted for convenience. There are some places that I just don't really have the depths of spirituality in my life, in my soul. You're not going to go down to the store and pay 99 cents for it. It's going to come through some pressing. But I propose to us tonight that it's worth it. It is worth every press. Do you think the man who was let down through the roof felt like the embarrassment was worth it? The woman that pressed through and no doubt had to, excuse me. You think she said, I just don't know if that was worth it. I don't think there was any doubt. They were willing to press, to overcome, to push beyond that which would try to hold them back. And I believe for us too, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it if we're willing to press through. Like Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God through Christ Jesus. I don't count myself to have apprehended yet. I haven't arrived. I'm not there. There's in my life some places the Lord brings me to that I recognize. I need that. And Paul said, I press, I reach forward. I'm not just sitting back hoping it falls in my lap. May the Lord challenge us tonight and help us that we be determined to press through. Maybe we can stand and have a song. Folks, if there's something that the Lord is offering to you, He's got it for you. It's worth it. If there's some places that I recognize that I've lost some things, the Lord can restore it to us if we're willing to press. You pray for me. Amen.